Okay, great. Hello everyone, this is Miki Nakajima. So today I'll be presenting about the initial state of the Earth after the moon form impact. So recently I've been working on Mars and other planets, but I decided to talk about this topic, and which is a work I mainly did at Caltech with Dave Stevenson and also at Carnegie. I thought this topic is very important to the main theme of this CiTAR workshop. And also, like, I would like to briefly discuss some of the recent development of our work as well. I'm going to talk about two topics. So in the beginning, I'll discuss the initial state of the Earth mantle after the moon form impact. In the second part, I'll discuss the effects of the moon form impact on the early planetary magnetic field. So it is widely accepted that the moon formed by a large impact. So this is called the giant impact hypothesis. And knowing the origin of the moon is very important because this is probably the last traumatic giant impact that determined the initial state of the Earth and the moon. So by understanding the moon, we can also identify the initial state of the Earth. So according to the standard version of this hypothesis, the moon was hit by a Mars-sized impact around 4.5 billion years ago. And the impact was so energetic, therefore it vaporized the disk around the planet. And from this disk, the moon accreted. So this is a standard view of the moon formation hypothesis. But it is hard to understand what's going on by just looking at the cartoon. So let me show you one of our simulations. So this is the Earth, and this is the impactor, and the color shows the entropy, which shows the extent of shock heating. The brighter the color is, the higher the extent of shock heating is. And the gray shows iron. So the impactor hits the Earth. Oops. And you can see that the outer part of the Earth mantle is highly shock heated by the impact. And the impactor hits the Earth again. And you can see the impactor is completely destroyed by the impact itself. And also the impactor becomes some fragments, and they are destroyed by the tidal force from the planet. And you can see that the disk formed around the planet. And from this disk, the moon accreted. So this is a standard view of the origin of the moon. So this model has been favored because it can explain several observed features. For example, it can explain the mass of the moon, and it can explain the angular momentum of the Earth and Moon system. Also, it can explain why the moon has a small iron core. So we know that based on seismic observations, we know that the moon has a probably very small iron core. And during the simulation, when you look at the figure, so most the large fraction of the core of the impactor falls onto the planet. And as a result, there is not much iron left in the disk. So this model can explain why the moon has a small iron core. However, it is known that the standard version of this hypothesis cannot easily explain the lunar and terrestrial geochemistry. So let's look at the end of the simulation with different colors now. So the blue particles represent material from the proto-Earth, and the yellow particles represent materials coming from the impactor. So when you look at the disk, most of the disk materials are coming from the impactor. And since the moon accreted from the disk, you'd expect that the composition of the moon should be quite similar to the composition of the impactor. So this is an issue. So as probably everyone knows, we went to the moon, and then we brought back some lunar rock samples, and then we found a very interesting results. So we found that the Earth and moon have very similar isotopic ratios. This has been confirmed by many isotopic systems, including tungsten, silicon, oxygen, and titanium, and many others. So there are some small differences, but we are almost identical. Also, but at the same time, we have some meteorite from Mars, and we know that the Earth and Mars are quite different in terms of isotopic ratios, and this suggests that perhaps each body has its own isotopic systems. Therefore, it is natural to assume that the impactor had a different isotopic ratios from the Earth. Therefore, the standard version of this hypothesis cannot easily explain why the Earth and Moon have very similar isotopic ratios. So to overcome this issue, in 2012, new models have been suggested. So one of them is the Chukwin Stewart, and more recent work has been done by Sarah and Simon. And if you are interested in details, please go to Sarah's Chalk Talk next week. So according to this hypothesis, the Earth was spinning very fast, and it was hit by a small impactor. And the outer part of the Earth's mantle was stripped off, and that formed a disk on a planet. And the Moon accreted from the disk. So in this case, the disk materials are coming from the Earth's mantle. Therefore, it can explain why the Earth and Moon have very similar isotopic ratios. The next model is the Hark-Earth model. So in this case, there was a collision between two Hark-Earth-sized objects. So in this case, everything is mixed together. Therefore, the final composition of the Earth and Moon could be quite similar. So in these models, the isotopic ratios between the Earth and Moon could be quite similar. To summarize up until now, this is a standard model where the Earth was hit by a Mars-sized impactor around 4.5 billion years ago. This model has a problem with explaining why the Earth and Moon have very similar isotopic ratios. In contrast, in these recent models, the isotopic similarities can be easily explained. But there is a big difference between the standard model and also the recent models, which is the kinetic energy involved in the impact. The kinetic energy in the impact in the recent model is much larger, meaning that the impact is more energetic in the recent models with respect to the standard scenario. Yes.
Just to clarify, for the fast spinning Earth, is that it's spinning fast before the impact? Because presumably we know how fast it was spinning afterwards.
In the fast spinning Earth model, Earth was spinning very fast.
Prior to the impact, and the impact slowed it down, and that makes it distribute.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, we suggested that perhaps Earth's mantle has additional constraint, and with which we can provide a further constraint for the origin of the Earth and Moon. So, as Sujoy discussed earlier this week, geochemical studies indicate that the early Earth mantle was chemically heterogeneous. So this has been suggested by many isotopic systems, including tungsten, xenon, perhaps neodymium, and neon as well. And also, they suggest that this heterogeneity was preserved for billions of years. So we don't really know the exact form of the heterogeneity, but it could have existed at the bottom of the mantle as a chemically heterogeneous layer. So according to isotopic systems and so neon isotopic ratios, this heterogeneity formed very early, probably earlier than the first 60 million years. So what does it tell us? So the Earth's mantle developed a chemical heterogeneity in the first 60 million years, and perhaps heterogeneity may be preserved potentially up until today. And more realistically, some new additional heterogeneity was added to the system. Perhaps some of them might be subductive slabs, and also new heterogeneity could have formed in a very early phase. For example, after the Moon forming impact, most of the mantle experienced melting, and when the mantle recrystallized, it could have formed the heterogeneity within the mantle. And also, some of the materials could have been added to the system after the Moon forming impact. So this is called the late veneer. So this could have contributed to the heterogeneity formation. And also it is possible that there was an interaction between the core and the mantle. So this could have also added some heterogeneity. So it's a whole zoo of heterogeneity, but perhaps the current Earth mantle has some primordial signature, as well as some newly added heterogeneity. And it's also possible that we are seismically observing some of this heterogeneity. And then also, according to other studies, the moon forming impact occurred somewhere around 60 and 100 million years after the solar system formation. So this suggests that even though the moon forming impact was so energetic, it didn't completely destroy the mantle heterogeneity. So this could be used as a constraint for the origin of the Earth and moon. Yeah.
Your cartoon on the previous slide had green just in the lowermost mantle. Could it all be green in that first image? Could it all be green? Are you trying to say something specific, that it must have been heterogeneous?
Say it again.
Could the Earth have been just green?
Oh, that entire thing at that point.
I
think, yeah, for example, like a results paper is suggesting that way. So in that case, probably you don't wanna mix everything between the Earth mantle and solar impact. So I think it's possible. But in this case, we are looking at the deep part of the mantle, just it's an easier place to hide something for a long time.
I noticed the model you show, like fastest spin model, and you show that they can explain the isotopic similarity between Moon and Earth. But how about major composition, major element composition, like iron? Can they explain that? Lunar mantle is a little more iron enriched. That model explain that?
Regarding a fast spinning Earth model?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it, Sarah?
The core formation and FEO content of the moon has not been modeled directly under our conditions, but the moon would have a different redox in its mantle in a direction that is consistent with what's observed.
So after the disk formation, there will be evolution of the disk that also determine the final chemical composition and isotopic composition of the moon. So there will be an additional process needed to model this. Okay, so in this paper we published in 2015, we looked at the three different models, the sun model, fast spinning Earth model, and also the hard Earth model. And I also want to mention that there are other models besides this, but during this part of the talk, I will discuss these three topics, but in the end, I'm gonna discuss some implications for the more recent models. And the question is the following. So now we are looking at three different models, and which impact model can explain the preservation of the mantle heterogeneity. So even though the giant impact was so energetic, that shouldn't have a completely mixed the Earth mantle. So to tackle this, we use the smooth particle hydrodynamic method. This is called the SPH. And as Bruce discussed earlier this week, we solve mass conservation, momentum equation, and energy equation. So I'm not gonna solve all of this, but the bottom line is that the fluid can be expressed as a collection of spherical particles. And so we wrote this code from the ground up. So first, let's get the standard scenario. So in this case, the Earth was hit by a Mars-sized impactor, and again, the color shows the entropy, and the gray shows the iron. So the simulation is done in 3D, but we are looking at the cross-section. So you can see that during the impact, the core of the impactor is falling onto the planet, which can explain why the moon has a small iron core. And also, you can see that outer part of the Earth is highly shock heated. So this has an important implication. Move on. So this is a fast spinning Earth model. The Earth was spinning very fast, and it was hit by a small impactor, and the outer part of the Earth mantle was shipped off. And you can also see that this is a more energetic impact scenario than the standard case. And you can also see that the Earth is more shock heated than the standard scenario. Let's look at the half-Earth scenario. So in this case, there was a collision between two half-Earth-sized objects. And you can see it's really hard to preserve any heterogeneity in this scenario, as you could imagine. All right, moving on. So let's look at the endpoint and the state of the Earth mantle after the moon formed impact. Again, the color shows the entropy, gray shows the iron. So as you can see, in the recent models, the mantle is much more heated than the standard scenario. And also, the outer part of the Earth mantle is more shock heated than the interior, which has an important implication. So this means that the mantle is thermally acidified. So now okay.
Sorry to interrupt. How dependent is this conclusion that the half-Earth and the fast-spinning Earth end up kind of heating the mantle more? How does that depend on choices that you make about, like, the inclination of the impactor or the relative velocities or the point of impact or other kinds of, I guess, knobs?
Yeah, it is sensitive. But I think the more constraint coming from explaining the angular momentum of the Earth moon system and also moon. So we cannot use any, like a infinite number of parameters. So it is not very straight. Actually, it is actually difficult to produce a massive disks. And also, it is difficult to explain the angular momentum of the system. So I think that would be the constraint. So it depends, but yeah, we can explore too huge parameter spaces. Okay. So let's look at the radially averaged entropy of the mantle. So this is the radially averaged entropy. X-axis is the radial distance normalized by the Earth radius. And this is close to the core mantle boundary, and this is close to the surface. And different lines represent different scenarios. So first, let's look at how much mantle melts due to the impact. The part of the mantle can be considered to be molten if the part of the mantle's entropy exceeds entropy required for melting. So entropy required for melting is about 500 joules per Kelvin per kilogram. And the molten part of the mantle is shown in the shaded region. So as you can see, most of the Earth's mantle experiences melting due to the impact. But perhaps in a standard case scenario, the lower part of the mantle may remain solid. Okay. And also, you can see that the outer part of the Earth's mantle is much more heated than interior, which means that the mantle is thermally stratified. Therefore, convection would not occur spontaneously. So outer part of the mantle has higher temperatures and so light materials compared to the inner part. therefore, it's thermally stratified. But however, so in this case, the convection would not occur in the mantle spontaneously. But it doesn't mean that the mantle remains unmixed. So the moon-forming impact may provide enough kinetic energy to the mantle. Therefore, the mantle can get dynamically mixed. So after the impact, the outer part of the mantle starts rotating a bit faster than the interior. This is because the kinetic energy of the impact is preferentially given to the outer part of the mantle. So this would create a velocity shear within the mantle. And if there is a velocity shear between some layers, it's possible that it would induce instability. This is called Kelvin-Hellman instability. And if this happens to the mantle, this could dynamically mix the mantle, and then original heterogeneity could have been erased. So we look at this problem based on energy balance, as I'm going to explain in the next few slides. So this is the schematic view of the thermal state of the Earth mantle So y axis the entropy, x axis the radial distance. This is the radial average entropy. So after the moon forming impact, the Earth mantle, the entropy looks like a state one. And if there's a mixing, the mantle state looks like a state two. And then we define.
I just want to ask a quick question that could be very silly, but if the convection is chaotic, won't that produce fractals that will preserve heterogeneity?
Say it again?
If the convection is chaotic, if you have a chaotic convection, then that will produce a lot of fractals and fractals of mixing, and therefore you can preserve the heterogeneity based on the fact that you will continue stirring the thing, but it's not going to be a complete mixing.
So what was the first part?
Chaotic, chaos. Like chaos theory.
Chaotic.
Yeah, chaotic convection.
Uh-huh.
So can you simulate something like that, or what will be the effect? I don't know, people ask me questions about phase diagrams, so I'm asking questions about other types of convection here.
So you are asking, this could have a chaotic convection?
Yeah, because when you have a temperature and composition difference, in a magma chamber, you can have that kind of convection, and that ends in these lava flows that are mingled but not mixed.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So the mixing during the magma motion phase is still, I think, not understood that well. And the mixing due to solid state convection hasn't been studied recently. But I think that's an important question to address.
But the point is that you might not get convection at all for a while, and any time, right?
Right. So now we are just looking at the very initial phase of the mantle, but I'm not talking about what's going to happen later on after the during the magma motion phase and also after solidification, after the mantle convection as a solid state, which is.
You probably don't produce any chemical differences until you start crystallizing.
Say it again.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's a very important point, and that needs to be addressed. And actually, that's one of the things I'm doing right now. So. Okay. So okay. And the delta P, we define delta PE as the potential energy difference between the two states, and delta KE is the kinetic energy gain over the mantle. So this is computed based on a SPH simulation. And mixing criterion can be expressed as follows, if according to previous studies. So if the ratio of the delta PE and delta KE is smaller than 0.5, the system is unstable and gets mixed. But if this number is larger than 0.5, then the system is stable and doesn't get mixed. So this number is relatively intuitive, because if the kinetic energy is large, that makes this number relatively small, therefore the system gets mixed. So we looked at this for the three different scenarios, and these are the numbers we got. So in a standard scenario, this ratio is close to 2, which is much larger than the critical value of 0.5. Therefore, the mantle doesn't get mixed, which is good to explain the preservation of the mantle heterogeneity. And in Hartree's model, this number is much smaller than 0.5, therefore the system gets mixed. And in a Fast-Finials model, this is close to the critical value, so which is a bit, makes it a bit difficult to analyze the result, but it's possible that part of the mantle gets mixed. So the bottom line is the following. The standard model is the most consistent with the preserving the mantle heterogeneity. So in the beginning, I mentioned that there are other models other than these three models. So one of them is the multiple impact scenario. This has been suggested by Roof et al. In 2017. So according to this hypothesis, the Earth experiences multiple small impacts. So the Earth was hit by small projectile, the full moonlet, and the moonlet before the during this evolution of the moonlet, the Earth experienced another small impact that formed another moonlet, and these moonlets eventually merged into a single moon. So this is a very interesting hypothesis, And the impacts in this scenario are relatively less energetic than the scenarios I discussed previously. Therefore, it's possible that the mantle remain mixed in this scenario. However, the dynamical aspect of this model is still needs further investigation. So I think I'm looking forward to their updates on this issue. And the next model is the synesthesia model. So this has been developed by Simon and Sarah. So I think you'll talk about it probably next week, I guess. So yeah, okay. But yeah, if you are very interested, please ask Sarah. So according to this model, the Earth experiences a large impact and that vaporizes a large fraction of the planet and form like a donut-shaped disk structure on the planet. And eventually they condense to a small moon and also the Earth. And this is a very energetic process. So disk materials and proto-Earth materials would have experienced a mixing. They could also explain the isotopic similarities. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hear about more details. So the bottom line is there are many interesting models coming up. So the origin of the moon is a very interesting topic. So to summarize up until this part, so the Earth mantle becomes mostly molten by the moon forming impact. And in a standard scenario, the mantle remains unmixed. But in the recent models, the mantle may get mixed, meaning that the Sun model is the most consistent model to explain the preservation of the mantle heterogeneity. But I also want to point out that the Sun model still has an issue to explain why the Earth and Moon have very similar isotopic ratios. So Dofos et al. And some others suggest that perhaps the impactor happened to have the same isotopic ratios to the Earth. So this is a potential explanation for this, but I think we still need further explanation. And also there are some discussion. I would like to discuss some discussion and ongoing work. So in our simulation, we ignore any chemical or compositional stratification in the mantle. But if the mantle was composition stratified, meaning that the stratified layer was much denser than ambient mantle, it's possible that heterogeneity survived during impact, even if the impact was energetic. So this part needs further investigation. And also, we have developed a scaling law for estimating how much mantle melts due to the impact as a function of impact angle and impact velocity and such. So I think this is a very useful scaling law for the community, and which is almost done, so to be submitted. So if you are interested in details, please ask me about the paper. And in this part of the work, we only looked at the first 24 hours of the impact. But of course, that's not the entire story. So we want to preserve this heterogeneity for billions of years. And so with Peter van Keeken at Carnegie, we are looking at how this heterogeneity could have survived for billions of years. And more specifically, we are looking at the effect of rheology and how the rheology affects the convection pattern and also over time mixing. So unfortunately, I don't have time to talk about this, but I'm probably presenting at AGU, so if you are interested, please ask me questions about this. And I think this is a very important question, and many exciting work has been done. So stay tuned. So I think, how much time I have?
Almost none.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know where the time goes. Okay, so no, but okay, I will just go to the no.
You
yeah, okay. I will just advertise my work, and if you have questions, let me know. Okay, so we also looked at how the impact affects the mixing for the core. And we find out that the impact can actually mix the core. And that has an important implication for the early magnetic field. But well, if you have questions, let me know. Unfortunately, I don't think we have time for this.
So the isotopic evidence for ancient heterogeneity in the mantle doesn't put very strong constraints on how large these
right.
Unmixed parts of the mantle are, and they could be small, a small fraction of the mantle. And so thinking of your models, I'm wondering about whether the mixing efficiency might be very different in different parts of the magma ocean, and whether that could help explain the survival of heterogeneity.
So the question is how the size of heterogeneity, the initial heterogeneity, would affect the survival of mixing. I think that's certainly true, and we don't really know the size of the initial heterogeneity. If it's much larger, if it's pretty large, like Sarah mentioned, if it's a whole Earth, then it's probably easier to preserve. I think that's the one scenario we should explore.
Getting back to Ved's question a little bit, I was wondering if those two models that fit the overall observations the best, the standard and the fast spinning Earth, is one of those more or less likely based on angular momentum? Is it harder to get one of those two to work?
Uh-huh.
And at what point does that just become so unlikely that you would no longer consider it?
So the question is the angular momentum of the Earth moons?
Yeah, is one of those models harder? Is it harder to tune the parameters to get those to work?
So one of the potential issues is that in the recent models, the final the angular momentum of the system is much larger, the current value. So you need some mechanism to extract angular momentum of the system, so which has been also discussed with Sarah and Juk. But also, like, you really have to extract the exact angular momentum, so which could be also a challenge. For example, there are also dynamical constraints. For example, in a Hausdorff model, there's a collision between two Hausdorff-sized objects. But this is dynamically not very likely at the end of the planetary formation stage. So this kind of statistical argument can also provide further constraints.
Yeah, I'm also very interested in the mantle heterogeneities in your model. So you said that can be survived in the first kind of model, right? In the standard?
Right.
So those large-scale heterogeneities. So how does that behavior, like growing or just stable there? Those kind of heterogeneities are growing or just stable around there?
Well, I think it's complicated, but in some cases, I think it could be destroyed by the impact, but also some heterogeneity could develop over time due to a crystallization of the magma ocean, for example. Yes.
For the equation state, you're using for Irving or?
First,
how did you expect that different equation of state going to change your result?
So actually, in the paper, we use two different equations of state. So one of them is a Fourier equation state, and the other one is a Bridgmanite type of equation state. So in both scenarios, we got similar answers. So so the conclusion is it was not too sensitive to the initial equation of state, but yeah.
Even the equation of state for melt?
For the mantle. So we didn't really solve the melting. So the original equation of state doesn't have the latent heat release due to a crystallization. So we just use the equation, use the defined equation of state and then find that the answer was not sensitive. But I think more work needs to be done on this issue, especially including effects of melting.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.